Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Voodoo Fruitwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Stereo Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a very, very, very special guest from the Association of Independent Breeders and Root Workers, Deacon Millett of FourAltars.org of Joshua Tree, California. And together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual voodooists of our times. And you can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum, at forum.luckymojo.com, then call into the show. You'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, Miss Tammy Lee.
Hi.
And it's a lovely new year for all of us.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, the weather here is chilly and cold, and things are cleaner than they have been. We've just been working on our spiritual cleaning of the Lucky Mojo shop. I want to give a big thank you to all the people who have been participating in that. I took my little New Year's anniversary holiday with Nagashiva. It's our wedding anniversary. It happens to be our 15th wedding anniversary, so we went off on a little trip together.
Okay. That was fun.
And, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Congratulations.
We went to Calistoga and California to the mud baths and the spa and had a lovely time and come back and find everybody cleaning the shop like just a wonderful little elves. So great thanks to everybody. This is a show that I'm very happy to host because we're going to have not only Conjurman Ali but my good friend Deacon Millett here. But let's bring in Conjurman Ali first. How are you doing?
I am doing lovely. Thank you for asking. You're right. It's been a great New Year's. It's only been a few days, but it's been a wonderful start to the new year. Been quite busy already. We got an opportunity to hang out with some dear friends in the magical community yesterday, and been busy with work for clients, getting people off on the right start. I always get a rash of kind of life readings, geomantic life readings, tarot life readings, and kind of general, where is my life going around the end of the year and the beginning of the new year? So I've been busy doing work of that kind, which is probably some of my favorite type of work, you know, fresh beginnings, fresh start, what's coming up for me in the year ahead. So it has been, and it has been fantastic. I can already say that 2016 has got some great things in store for a lot of people that I've read for.
Oh, that's great. I know you're always one of the busiest guys, most hardworking guys I know in root work. You're always doing
something. Oh, thank you. I am always busy. It's true. It's my Taurus nature.
Yeah, well, I think that does make a difference. And the Tauruses and Capricorns, these are our steady buddies. let's bring in Deacon Millett. How are you doing today, Deacon Millett?
Welcome, Deacon Millett.
Oh, it's great to be here. Just doing great. The new year is off to a wonderful start and getting tons of work done and working on the book. So everything is just bopping along.
Well, let's talk about the book because we advertised this with a little note in Facebook, but this is really the first announcement, and people who listen to the show and archive will go, what book? What's he talking about? So Deacon Millett, let's just announce it. You are working on a new book. Your book, Hoodoo Honey and Sugar Spells, has been a big hit and really was lovely. It came out, what was that? It'll be a year and a half ago now, right? About that
mm-hmm.
long?
Okay. Yes.
And it came out, it was introduced at the Hoodoo Heritage Festivals in May in 2013, right? So now, coming up on 2015, we're going to have another Hoodoo Heritage Festival, and you're going to have another book. And this will be, you tell me the title. It's
This one is Hoodoo Return and Reconciliation Spells. So we're going to take what we started with in the first book in terms of sweetening, and we're going to take a look at when things go slightly wrong and
mm-hmm.
how to fix them. So all sorts of reconciliation love work. And I'm having a wonderful time collecting all sorts of different material for it. So I think it's going to be wonderful.
Well, I know you're a very traditional worker, and you like to call upon, you know, elders in the tradition, even those who passed a long time ago, but whose words have been preserved in the writings of people like Nobel Niles Puckett or Harry Hyatt. And also, you reach out to the community, the ongoing Hoodoo community. And I know that the Honey and Sugar Spell was just wonderful for that, because it wasn't like Deacon Millett tells you the only and proper way. Well, you know, like some of these big
it's
ego
true.
Bosses do. You're a community builder and a friend of many. And this book, and I know because we've talked about it because I'm going to be editing it, is going to also include reach out to people who have done good work from the past, the present, and far and wide. So let me just talk for a minute about what it means, the difference between return and reconciliation spells.
Mm,
and I'm going to ask you to let's expand upon that. But just for an example, we have at the Lucky Mojo Forum a section on love spells. And someone will post the link for that, I'm sure, in the live chat. And if you don't know what I'm talking about and you're listening on the radio, go to forum.luckymojo.com, and then scroll down to the section. There's a section called Forum, a section called How to Use the Products, a section called Ask Us for Help. And when you get to Ask Us for Help, the fourth section is called Ask Us for Conjure Help with Love, Romance, Marriage, and Reconciliation. And there are about 60 topics there. And you can read those topics for free. Some of those topics have to do with different specific kinds of love situations. Not all of them are about return and reconciliation, but some of them are. And one of the most popular threads is the one about how to get someone to return. Now, return can also mean a friend. In other words, it's not just for love. Let's say someone and you had a foolish quarrel in the last month of high school, and it's 20 years later, and you're thinking, I wonder if they're on Facebook. You may not want them for love, but you still want them for friendship, and you think, I wonder where they are. How can I connect or contact with them? That's a kind of a return spell, too. But a lot of people's interest, and I think the major interest in this book, if I'm not mistaken, will be how to get people to return into your circle of friends and into your circle of love. So
mm-hmm.
that's what this book is going to be about. Now, Deacon Millett, come in and tell us a little bit about how you go about collecting these spells.
Well, I am blessed to have the internet, as we all are. And that gives me a ton of valuable ability to peruse and pull forth things from all over the place. I've also got the Hyatt books and love delving into those. And I really enjoy talking to my friends. And being a part of AIR, I have a wonderful assortment of very talented root worker friends, all of whom are generous in sharing their spells and things that have really worked well for them. So it gives me a whole bunch of different ways to pull in information and to share it.
Yeah, for people who listen in on the archives and don't know what we're talking about, the Hyatt books. The Hyatt books are Harry Hyatt's interviews with 1,600 African-American practitioners of root work. Not all of them were professional practitioners, but he just asked people what they knew, what kind of spells they knew, what they did, what was done in their family or around their town. And he then kind of sorted these out in sort of rough groups. And that set of material is, you know, thousands of spells and thousands of pages of spells, but it's hard to access. And so one of the things that I have found is really helpful when working with this material is to sort them out and kind of credit the people who worked on them and who donated their time and their attention to Harry Hyatt. There are other people who have collected old hoodoo spells, too, like Nubel Niles Puckett.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of spells on love. So you're going to be including a lot of these older type of material. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, that's the nice thing is that we've got the experience of hundreds of years of what works. And, you know, it's so funny to see people making up their little things when you know, there's a massive base of tried and true wisdom and folklore out there. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, yes, it's wonderful to tweak things and to express oneself through the work, but if you don't have that tradition as your foundation, there's really, if you're just reinventing the wheel, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we tend to like the older style work. Now, I'm going to ask for some participation here because I know that you are reaching out to people and literally giving them credit in this book, members of AIR. I know in your other book you were very free with the credits you gave, the help you acknowledged. Hoodoo, root work, conjure is a community-based form of magic. It is not a top-down magic. There is no pope. There is no dictator. And what works is passed from hand to hand, mouth to mouth. You know, we just talk about it. And so if people wanted to contact you to post their favorite love and return spells or their experiences or to ask you questions, to have those questions included and answered in the book, how would they do it? Would they go to the forum and post there or would they contact you directly?
Well, you know, since we're talking about it, I think it would be wonderful to have a thread at the forum if that's an option for us. I think that would be far more fun and out in the open for people. And, of course, I take on clients, and you can send me your personal emails and things there if you don't want to share. But I will certainly be going into the forums, just like I did with the last book, to find out what people's questions are, where people get stuck, and to try to help people through those.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it's one of the most helpful aspects of the books. The sweetening spell, for example, did the same thing. For people who don't have it, you're missing out. Go get the book. It's phenomenal. But the format of the book, one of the reasons why I love it so much is you have the spells, you have the work, you have here's how you do this stuff. But then you include a sort of FAQ, frequently asked questions, right? Where the major issues that people have, the major questions that people have, are then addressed by various people, with moderators in the forum, contributors, other AIR members. And I think that's what's so fantastic, because people, you can introduce them to a way of working, but then they have a million and one questions. And those questions are answered in the book itself, because those are real questions, not just questions that the author had to sit and kind of preempt, you know, go, well, I wonder if they'll ask about this. No, they're actual questions that are being answered. It is one of the most helpful aspects of the book and one of the reasons why I love that format of writing. So I look forward to this book immensely.
Well, and I have to say, Ali, thank you. And I feel like, believe me, some of these questions that I answered in the first book, I never could have imagined that people would have these difficulties.
Right.
And it enables me to use the wonderful experience of the forum moderators and their answers.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, the forum is such a wonderful community itself. And
mm-hmm.
I like having that aspect reflects.
It really is. Now, before we go all crazy patting each other on the back, let me ask you some questions about what's going to be in the book. It's a truism that root workers are overwhelmed by people asking for lovers to return. Now, I'm going to step back from that statement a little bit, and I'm going to just lodge a complaint against some of my fellow root workers. There are a lot of root workers who have more ego invested than they have an idea of performing service and being of help to others. I see on Facebook in particular, but also on people's web pages, nasty comments by root workers where they really make themselves look bad. They make their clients feel bad. They make fun of their clients. All those people who just want love return. Well, first of all, never, never mock your clients. If you're a root worker and you go on Facebook and you say, oh, I had another one of those stupid people, wanted him back. No. You're just telling yourself that you're bad in public. It's an embarrassment.
Yeah.
It's an embarrassment to you, not to your client. Number two, yes, we do know that there are people who have unreasonable expectations for the return of a lover. And in particular, it can be very frustrating for a reader or a root worker when one of two things or both of two things happen. Number one, the person who goes from reader to reader hoping that one reader will say you can get your lover back, even though they've been to 10 readers who said, I don't think so. They just will chalk it up to, you don't know how to read, and they'll go to the next one. Well, they have a psychological problem. It's not our problem as readers, as practitioners of hoodoo, it's not our problem, it's their problem. We don't have to make fun of them, though, but we do have to speak to them honestly. How many readers have you gone to? They all said this. Well, I guess I'm in good company. Good luck. You know, you do the best you can. That's number one. The other problem is the client who insists that you must be hired to do this job. Well, never since ever has any root worker been enslaved to do root work. Root workers are free of the floor. You know what I mean? They can make. They don't have to take your case. And we've all had a few of these, you know, obsessive clients who say, you know, but you must. Six root workers turned me down. Six hoodoo practitioners said I couldn't do this. And you must. I will pay you anything. Well, no, that ain't going to work. But aside from those two types of clients, really, there's only one other client type that drives me crazy. Now, those two I won't deal with other than to be very polite to them and tell them to, you know, get the help they need from someone else. But there's another kind of client and another kind of person that we deal with. And I hope you're going to mention this in your book. And this is the person who goes to the root worker and they say, do me a spell and get my lover to call me because he hasn't called me and we had a fight and 4 weeks have passed. Please, just a little spell.
I know where this is going.
Oh, yeah. And he calls, and then they call me back the next week. I say, well, how'd it go? Well, he called me, but of course I wouldn't talk to him, right?
Yep.
He's been blowing up my phone. I won't answer him. Or the other one who, she's the one, I'm just going to use a she, it could have been a he, she's the one who started the fight. She's the one who did wrong. She blew him off, and now she says, well, make him call me. Now, that justice would be that she should, let's do a spell so that she can call him and he'll answer the phone. She's the one who's in the wrong. So sometimes we have to end up being etiquette teachers as well as root workers. And the worst are those clients who have no sense of etiquette. So my question to you, Deacon Millett, are you going to be addressing these problematic problems in your book?
I'm going to address them somewhat, yes. But I'm also very aware of what it feels like to be brokenhearted. And that's, you know, when I hear you talking about the root workers that, you know, make fun of their clients and things like that, I feel like they've been graced by never being brokenhearted. They must not know what it feels like. Because I get it. I totally get it. And it's a horrible, horrible feeling to not have your love returned. And So I'm definitely going to discuss the obsessive nature of wanting someone back, and I'm sure I will talk about how to cut and clear, because I think that that is hugely important for people's mental health. But also I want to talk about the, you know, there's a lot of problems with workers who don't take on difficult cases.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's another level of ego, is the worker who doesn't want to fail. And so they only take on the surefire things.
Oh, you just said a whole lot. Wait a minute. Let's just back up. Could you repeat that? I want everyone to hear that loud and clear. A whole nother level of ego. Go ahead. Say it again.
The worker who does not want to fail, and therefore will only take on surefire things.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Amen.
Now, I want to step into this and talk about this, because this ties all together really well. Both professionals who talk bad about reconciliation work, because let's be frank, it is one of the more difficult cases to work with. Not inherently in that there's this kind of reputation reconciliation work undeservedly got from clients and root workers alike, that it's the most difficult type of magic to work. It's not. It's not the magic itself that makes it difficult. In fact, the reconciliation work tends to be pretty straightforward. It's far easier than the court case. Court cases are difficult to work. You're working for months on end on stuff like that, sometimes years. Reconciliation work in of itself is not difficult magically. The reason it's gotten this reputation is because the situations are often so tricky. People's emotions are so invested in it, and people sometimes act foolish. And that happens, right? Ms. Kat, you brought up the example, the person who you do the work, the lover calls, and they're like, well, I'm not going to pick up. Well, okay, that's what makes it difficult. So it's gotten that reputation. And people talk ill about the client and the work itself. And then, like Deacon Millett mentioned, some will not take on a case unless you know, there's ego involved. And I think for me, because I can be quite selective about the cases that I work, but as everyone knows, one, I don't really Facebook, so I'm never talking about my clients. But for me, it all comes down to being the doctor, right? A root doctor is a healer, and their job, that role, and it can be a difficult role. Sometimes you have to be able to say, I understand. First of all, you have to come from a position of complete compassion, right? That's your job as a healer. And a healer doesn't just heal the body, it also heals the heart. This person is coming to you with a broken heart. This person is coming to you with the sting of love, which can be the cruelest sting of all, right?
Mm-hmm.
This idea of, I have lost someone so dear to me, can you help me? So the root worker who comes to this situation from a position of ego is automatically unable to help. The root worker who comes with compassion has the power to heal. But that healing may not always manifest in the way that the client desires. And I can say this because I am selective. I do go quite a bit of reconciliation work, but sometimes for me, it's more important to tell the client, this is not a case that I can draw this person back. It's not about it being hopeless. It's not about it being a situation where we'll fail, but it's a situation where if I draw this person back, I foresee even further trouble. This is an abusive relationship. This is not a healthy relationship. This is no longer a relationship. This is now an obsession. So the root worker has to fulfill that role, and it's a delicate balance. And people don't want to hear the truth sometimes, and that's why they go from reader to reader. They just want to hear what they want to hear. So the root worker has to play this balance of saying, knowing when to say, yes, we can go in there and we can draw this person back, and that is healing. Or knowing when to say, we need to walk away from that, and this too is healing your heart. So the
Root
worker really needs to be cognizant of that.
Yes, and I'm going to say something too. There's a third aspect of this too, which is that the reader and the root worker can, knowing that there is a slim chance, commit anyway. And this is something that I do quite often. I'll say, look, I'm looking at the cards, I'm reading the bones, whatever I've done a tea leaf reading. I've got a direct line from Spirit, and it's saying you've got a less than 25% chance. But I also know you're going to want to take that chance because it's not a zero. And I will work with you as long as you want up to a certain time, but you've got to set a time limit with me because I don't want to abuse the trust you have in me. I don't want to make you into a cash cow for the next 10 years to try to get so-and-so back. I want to say we're going to work on this for 3 months or 6 months or 1 year, whatever it is, and we'll usually let the client pick that amount of time, and usually it'll be based on how long they were together. You know, a one-month relationship does not merit 1 year of obsession. But if it was a 30-year marriage, and now we have an instance of cheating, and the whole thing is coming apart, and there's children, and there's houses, let's see if we can save it, you know. And let's see if that saving might even include not just spell work, but maybe get some marriage counseling. In other words, we come in offering a panoply of ideas. We are not marriage counselors. There may be some medical issues. There may be all kinds of issues, legal issues. We're going to try to get the person where they need to go. We'll commit ourselves as a root worker to support the medical, the legal, and the social therapeutic aspects of these things with root work for a certain amount of time. So, and even if it fails, at the end, we know we did our best to save the situation. And then we try to help with the grief that comes next, and then we try to get that person to move on to opening their heart to a new love. And I have done this many times. You know, sometimes going in, you cannot save it. But again, it's not about my ego. It's not about my ego.
Exactly.
I'm the fixer. I can get him back. No. I'm looking at him going, I don't think I can get him back, but I know you will go from reader to reader, and you will cry a long time. You need to have someone to go through this with you. We're going to give it, we're going to do 3 spells in 3 months, and we're going to see what that looks like at the end. And at the end, it'll be up to you to say, let's pull the plug or let's go on. Right? Let's cut and clear, or let's go on. Now,
that
doesn't
well
mean
said.
That I always predicted 100%, because magic changes things. And sometimes in those three spells in 3 months, all of a sudden, the guy's back knocking at the door saying, honey, I was such a fool. I missed you, and I miss our little child. And, oh, my God, would you take me back? And I'm going, well, that was the 25%. They got the 25%. Good for them, and I did a good job, and we all have a good smile all around. So, but
the whole
thing
point
is,
of magic is to beat the odds sometimes, right?
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah, you can beat the odds. It's not, you know, it's not always about statistics, but there's the thing. A root worker has to be ready to go into that long, long travail with the client. You cannot
absolutely
be a love worker
true.
Unless you can take it on, and unless you like you said, Deacon Millen, unless you've known the pain of a broken heart, you don't know how far a person will go to try to fix it.
Absolutely true. I think there's one of the other things that should be mentioned here, and this goes right along what you were saying, what we've all been saying about this, is that the root work, this is something, and I don't know, I think both of you do this as well, but please correct me if I'm wrong. There's been, and this all comes from the same idea in my mind of people not being familiar with what root work really is, both so-called professionals and clients. The professionals who are me, right, are worried about their success and their ego, they don't understand the very fundamental idea of root work and service to people. They don't, right?
That's right.
But the same with certain clients, they may not always understand what root work is. In their mind, we're just spellcasters. And so I get clients who come to me and they go, I want you to do this, 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 and this. And I'm actually quite clear with my clients. And I go, I understand what you want, and I will do my best to fulfill your needs. But at the end of the day, I'm the professional. I need to determine what's needed here. Because that's the whole point of the diagnosis of the situation. You may think you need this, but in reality, you need something else. And this is particularly common, and I would say, in of all the cases we take on in reconciliation work, people come to me often and they go, I need you to cast the intranquility spell because my lover is stubborn. And I throw my cards and I do my reading and I go, this person is brokenhearted. This person is upset. This person is hurt. Why would I send a vengeful spirit against them? Because that doesn't address the core problem. What we need here is healing. What we need here is open communication. We should be doing this. And so in addition to kind of fulfilling the role of the healer, right, and fulfilling the role of the person that walks through the situation, the root doctor is also the person that's the counselor. We have the wisdom, we have the lore, we have the knowledge, and we should be able to share that. And other people, you know, again, professional and clients, don't understand that. For them, it is just about spell casting. It is just about, here's the list of spells I know, here's the list of spells I'll give you, versus really diagnosing what's needed in the situation, especially in reconciliation work. Whenever a relationship is involved, the dynamics are so complicated that every case is different.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs something a little bit different. Some cases need the passion rekindled, right? The love has kind of gone out, and you want to do something sexy, and you want to do something beautiful. Other people just need, they're having a rough time, and they need things smoothed out. It's not the relationship, it's the circumstances. And yet other people do need something a little bit heavier, a little push in the right direction. And it is the root worker's job to work with the client collaboratively to find the core problem, address it, find the root, right, to use a pun, and address it from there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw in another little thing too, and this is in the chat room. Frank Jellyfish said, you know, what about the clients who don't take your advice? Well,
mm-hmm.
a good root doctor knows that not every client is going to take our advice, and we all have ways of dealing with that. Has to do with our professionalism, not so much with love spells as a class.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there are people who don't take our advice about job-getting spells, too. So
yeah.
We may see a little of that, but it's not a whole lot more than it is in any kind of type of work considered as a group. There is something else, though, and this is the idea that a lot of novice readers have.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to throw this out because I've heard it. I have a lot of students, and I do test readings for people who join Hoodoo Psychics or who join AIR.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the person who does their test reading, and I will propose a certain subject, and then they will read on it. And I've heard them read, and I've also heard some of them do readings on AIR. I mean, not on AIR, the organization, on the radio, or on YouTube, And I have seen a lot of readers make a mistake, and I'm going to mention this. This is really giving you readers a valuable piece of advice. This is going to be worth a lot of thought to you and may turn into a change in the way you approach your clients. When we have this contempt, and I say we, I don't mean me, there is contempt among the reader community, especially on Facebook, against people who want a love reconciliation reading or spell. And because they have that contempt, they don't even listen to what the client is asking for. And they assume, and I mean assume, that the client wants to be told that the person will come back. And often they will become obsessed with that idea rather than doing a real reading.
Mm-hmm.
They'll either do a fraudulent reading or they will come into the reading with their own preconceptions. Ah, this is just another one of those ladies who wants him back. But if you listen to spirit, you will find that a certain number, and it's not a low number, a certain percentage, and it's not a low percentage, come for a reading, will he come back? Not because they want to hear that. They want you to give permission to let go.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fail to do that because you have failed as a reader and have categorized them as clutchy, clingy ladies, you've screwed up big time. Big time. Okay? So remember this, my young readers. Remember this.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to spirit. Listen to whatever system you use of divination, whether it's pendulums or cards. If it tells you this person is not worth pursuing, speak it. Don't hide it from the client, thinking, if I say that, that client won't like me. No, you tell the truth, because so many times they'll say, thank you, that's just what I wanted to hear. Okay. Am I right?
It's always
so
such a relief, too, to hear that, because And I would say a good chunk of the people that I outright say the cards say no, they say thank you. It's not what I wanted to hear, but they walk
mm-hmm.
away. So definitely readers and workers are doing themselves a disservice and their clients a disservice if they think that there's some thing that these people want to hear and that they should be handed to them on a plate. And it's one of the things that I love about divination is that I do a lot of saying, well, you know, I wasn't expecting this, but the cards say, you know.
Right.
And I think that's why it's so important that we have tools, that we listen to spirit, because spirit doesn't necessarily say what we think spirit is going to say.
Yeah.
If we're not continually surprised, I don't think we're listening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to give a little shout out here to some of the folks in the chat room who are adding their own little comments, especially Butch. He says, don't sell blue skies and BS. And that is so
mm-hmm.
true.
Mm-hmm.
And Logan, who says, I have never gone to a reader because I wanted to like the reader. I went for help.
Amen.
Yeah.
And those are true voices speaking right there. And this is the fraught condition of what I call the jaded, sarcastic community, who they want to treat being a counselor, a reader, a spiritual worker, as if it were being a plumber, and they can just sit around and, you know, talk about, oh, yeah, I had to roto-root that thing out. You know, I mean, no, it's not like that.
You know what? You're being far too gentle, and it's funny because we're going to do a quick role reversal here. Whereas I tend to be the most diplomatic generally, and you're far more blunt than I am. I'm gonna step up here and say, no, those people aren't just jaded; they're unsuitable to be readers and root workers. And this is something that I've seen, and I can say honestly, especially on Facebook, which is one of the reasons why I'm not on there. If you're complaining about your clients, you have failed as a spiritual worker. You are not fulfilling your role. It's likely it's not the job for you.
That's right. Thank you. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to take a break now, and we'll come right back with our first call.
And y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Kanjaman Ali, and this week's very special guest, Deacon Millett, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Timmy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first new client calling in, who is calling in all the way from London. This is Keller. Keller, are you there, caller?
Hello, I'm here. Hello,
great.
Can you hear me?
Yes, hi. Ma'am, I sure can. And thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you
so much for listening to the show and certainly for calling from all the way from London. That's great. We know we have a lot of loyal listeners throughout the world. I'm going to go ahead and read the brief synopsis of your situation for our hosts. And she writes, in a very long relationship with my partner, we just had gone through a rocky patch, but we're looking to the future. I got pregnant, developed hypermesis gravidarum, and
yeah.
He let me out in the blue. Next followed the worst months and year of my life. Another woman was involved. Was he unfaithful? He took me back and left me 3 times in 2 weeks. After cutting him off and deciding not to keep the baby, he begged me back for 4 months, only to dump me again less than 24 hours. Come autumn, this woman is to be back on the scene, yet he tells me I'm the love of his life. Will we reconcile, or is this a lost cause? Turning it back over to you.
All right. Well, this could not be a more appropriate call. And I'm so sorry, Keller, to hear of these problems you've had. Hyperemesis gravidarum, just for those who don't know what that is a bad side effect of pregnancy that some people have, where you vomit almost uncontrollably. It's just a... Just some people have it, some people don't. Not everybody has it with every pregnancy, but it is a terrible thing to suffer through, and I'm so sorry you did. Now, having said all of that, now we just wanted to catch everybody up who didn't understand what that was. I'm going to turn this this reading into a little exercise in how I do a reading, okay? So I'm going to read the tarot cards, and... I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. How long were you two partners?
Just over a year and a half.
A year and a half, okay.
Yeah.
And was the pregnancy intentional or accidental?
It was accidental.
Okay, so that's why you wrote, I got pregnant, okay,
rather than we
got pregnant, okay.
Yeah.
All right, and I'm going to ask two more questions. What is your sign of the zodiac?
I'm an Aries.
And what is your partner's sign of the zodiac?
And he's a Gemini. Oh, yeah, Gemini.
Okay. All righty. Now, I don't know if you've listened to this show very long, but right now, Countryman Ollie has put his hand to his forehead, didn't he? Didn't you? Countryman Ollie, you just put your hand to your forehead and covered your eyes, didn't you? I know.
I did. You know me too well. You really do.
He went, oi. If he was Jewish, he would go, oi. All righty. I'm going to read the cards, but I'm going to tell you just based on this, probably, and I'm not, again, people think, oh, I hate Geminis. No, I don't hate Geminis, but I'll tell you that once a Gemini flips on you, don't expect much. Geminis,
yeah.
There are Geminis who are loyal, married, fantastic Geminis, but if a Gemini flips on you, let them go. That's my advice. So, now I'm going to read the three cards, having already given the reading. Sorry about that. Wow. First card I have is the Eight of Cups. This is a guy walking off into the night, leaving eight beautiful golden cups on a beach. This is a card of someone leaving, and it is the card of the past in this reading. The moon is in eclipse, and there's a sort of a sad face with little tears in the eyes. It's just a sad card more than bad card. Well, one of the cups is missing. It's the Eight of Cups. There's no cup actually missing, but the pattern of the cups is laid out so that it should be nine cups, and one is missing. And the person walking away with a walking stick seems to have taken one of the cups. We could say that a little piece of your heart was taken. And losing this baby and losing this love of your life and losing this situation has left you in a state where something was taken from you. But this person is walking away. Not a good indication of anything that's going to come back. And I hate to say it because the next card is pretty grim. The next card is actually the card of death.
Mm-hmm.
And when the card of death comes up, nobody likes it in a tarot reading. They go, oh my Lord, she just pulled the card of death. And there are readers, speaking of readers who shouldn't be readers, there are people who will actually take the death card out of their deck and it never shows up in any of their readings. Why not? Because they don't know how to say death. But this card of death always means the end of a relationship, if we're talking about a relationship. If it was a job, it would have been the death of the job. It doesn't necessarily mean the death of a being. Well, you did abort the baby. And I'm going to say something here. You don't know me. I myself have had several abortions. I have nothing against abortions. But they do portend something about the relationship as well. Okay. An abortion is almost a reading on a relationship. at a cellular level, at a spiritual cellular animal level. I'm speaking as one who's been there and done that. Okay. So death.
Okay.
Death says, this is it, all done. And the card of the future is a nice card. It's the Queen of Pentacles. This is a lady who's on a throne, outdoors in nature. She's got an arbor of red roses overhead with little prickly thorns, but beautiful red roses, passion, love. She's dressed in a white gown with a red jumper, golden crown, little light green veil. She holds a golden coin in her lap in a position that crystal ball readers know as the lap position. So she's almost gazing into this thing as if it were the future. She's gazing into the crystal ball. There's a throne that she sits on with fruit carved on it. You will have a child. It will be plentiful. There's a little goat carved on there, a little head of a goat. There's a little bunny rabbit hopping by. This is pleasure. This is growth. This is springtime. It's all about the springtime. I would let this person go. It's over. In the death card, the sun is coming up in the dawn after the night of death. And here we see the yellow sky in the Queen of Pentacles of a beautiful spring. And by your birthday, and when the sun turns into the sign of Taurus as well, you'll be in a much better position. I'm sorry to tell you, I do not see that you will reconcile with this person. All right. Let's turn it over to Deacon Millett and see how he reads it.
Well, can you hear me? That's the first big question.
I can hear you, yeah.
Yay. All right. Because while Ms. Cat was talking, my phone decided to die on me. Let me pull three cards here and see what they have to say. I'm using the Secret the Key Oracle deck, and it's a little bit different. The first card that I've pulled is Pearls Before Swine, and this card shows a pig sitting on a mountain of pearls. And it's from the old folk saying, you know, you're casting pearls before swine. You're giving your love to someone who doesn't deserve it, who needs it as much as a pig needs a pearl necklace. And so I think that's pretty important in terms of how you proceed with the situation, because clearly you have a lot to give. It's finding the person who deserves that and who's worthy. The second card here is the Chameleon card. This is a card of fickleness, a card of deceit, a card of hiding who one really is, and it's a card of mutability, of someone who changes to fit circumstances. So, he's a guy who changes. Yeah.
I was so confused. I was like, who is this person? You know, who is, it's just like I saw a completely different side, and I was just like blindsided. That's the only word I can use for it. I just didn't know where all this was coming from. So that just spot on.
It's, you know, if I may just speak here for a moment. Again, this is from him. This is not something you did. He is a chameleon, as Deacon Millett said. He's changing constantly. He will never be steady. Let Deacon Millett go on and see if he has another card for you here.
Okay.
Well, the third card is Puja Purification. This is a card about cleansing. You should look to cleansing baths and perhaps even cut and clear if you feel it's necessary. I don't get the sense that you need cut and clear in the way that a lot of people who just are totally obsessed have to cut and clear to move on. It seems to me from this card that just cleansing baths and healing work will do you in good stead, but this isn't a relationship that's going to ever be a firm foundation for your life.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, I was thinking, I was like, you know, even if anything ever did happen, would I be able to trust this person ever again? You know, this is it, you know, it
no.
doesn't seem right. Like, the foundations are completely shaken. They're not even shaken. They're dug up and thrown away kind of thing. It's just kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah. That's unfortunately, that's what we're seeing here. And I think all of the cards that both of us have pulled seem to indicate that. That you know this too, because I mean, just even your simple account of it, the flip flop. There's not even any point in trying to condemn this person. He's his own worst enemy. He will not be able to hold or grasp onto anything with this kind of erraticness. I really feel for you. I've been down this path with, I hate to say this, I've been down this path with two Geminis. And with
Geminis.
Two Geminis, two abortions. I'm not kidding you, honey. I'm not kidding you. Now, again, people say, she hates Geminis. No, I really love Geminis. But, and I know there are very, very good Geminis. But just having seen it happen in my life, and wondering what happened to me, my heart just goes out to you. You sound quite young, and I hope when you're my age, you look back on this and go, huh, that was it. But that you have other things. But you know, but that you have other things that will work out right. How old are you, sweetheart?
I'm 31.
31.
Yes.
Well, this is not the end of your life yet, babe. You got lots to go on, and we're going to send up some loving prayers. Now, we were talking about the card of Puja, purification. So let's turn this over to Conjure Man Ali. Ali, what would you prescribe for healing work here?
Thanks, Kat. My heart definitely does go out to you, and I do want to reiterate what Kat said. Geminis aren't bad. They just sometimes, especially in love relationships, certain Geminis, they're light switches, right? Once they turn off, they turn off. And they are fickle when it comes to love, and they just need a different type of personality, a different type of sign, just like you need someone that's different. And I want you to take away from this reading, well, there is a somber tone to it. One of the greatest things about both of the readings is that they end with hope, right? That this isn't the end, that there is happiness for you. So what I want to focus on is how to kind of heal, to bring about that purification and help you go forward so that you find that right person, that person that isn't going to be on and off with you, that person that isn't going to bring complications for you, because good love that is lasting and meaningful will be as natural and easy, and you don't need to worry about all of this drama. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to do a nice, good healing bath, something to purify. I don't think cut and clear is necessary, as Deacon Millet indicated. You could if you want to go down that route. But what I want you to do is I want you to get some rue, and I want you to get some violet leaves, and I want you to brew that into a tea, okay? Then I want you to pour some water into your bathtub, let the water run, fill it up nicely with warm water, pour in some milk. I want you to put in a whole cup of honey in there, swirl your hand around, make sure that you mix the honey in there so it doesn't just go straight to the bottom, you stick to the top. You want to mix that up, pour your tea in there as well, and then cover the top of it with rose petals. This is a luxurious bath. It's a great bath for the skin. You'll walk away with very smooth skin, very glowing skin, and it's also powerful and healing for the heart. It is a very, very good bath, but it is a soaking bath. It's different from the stand-up bath that you pour over your head. In this bath, you lay in the bath, and I want you to really just let all your hurt go, everything about this situation, let it seep out of you and into the water, okay? All the hurt that you feel, all the confusion that you feel, anything that you feel, just let it go into that bath. And while you're there, swirl the water around you, rub it onto your skin. Let yourself really enjoy the bath. It is very relaxing. Step out of that bath, air dry, let the water go. Grab just a little handful of that. You can grab it in a bowl. You can gather it in a cup, whatever you prefer. Just a little symbolic amount of that water, that bath water. Once you've air dried, what you're going to do is take that used bath water and dispose of it at a tree. Now, I got this from Spirit, is that tree is going to be important for you. Not a crossroads, not a river, but you're going to go to a tree, well, whatever tree draws you, and you're just going to pour out that cup of water or that bowl of water right at the roots of the tree, and you're going to walk away. You can repeat this bath as many times as you need. It's a great healing bath, but the next step is to bring in that love. And I want you to get yourself a Queen Elizabeth root. It's going to be exactly what you need in this situation. I want some violet leaves, rose petals, damiana, and juniper berries. Okay? And you're going to put this into a mojo bag along with a single statement, a prayer directly to God. Dear God, I ask that you send to me my ideal partner and lover in life, someone who will love me as fiercely as I love them, who will stand by me through thick and thin, who will not waver in their devotion to me, and who will help me through life, or something along those lines. Whatever you want to say, write from your heart onto that prayer, kiss the paper, and place it into the bag with the roots and the herbs. And you are going to carry this on you. You're going to tie it up, 3 knots, feed it a little bit of whiskey, and you're going to carry it pressed up against your skin wherever you go. Once a week, feed it a little bit of whiskey. If you can't get whiskey, a little bit of oil will work as well. I prefer whiskey myself. And you're going to carry that on you so that every step that you take, that mojo bag will be your helper and bring to you your ideal lover. It will go out, search the world, and find that person that you prayed for, that you say with all your heart that you're ready for, and bring them right to you. You do this work, and I foresee that you will bring that lover to you, and you will move on and never look back with sorrow. You'll look back and go, that was an experience, and I am so much better off today than I was yesterday.
That's really nice. That's really nice. I like that a lot. May I add just a little something? You had mentioned in this bath that you would brew the tea and presumably strain it in, but then you said put rose petals on the bath. And just as a practical lady who has taken milk, honey, and rose petal baths, because I know about them, skim those rose petals off before you let the water go down the drain.
Yes.
And the rose, I'm just saying, and the rose petals will be something that you would then sprinkle around that tree. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my little touch on that one. How about you, Deacon Millett? Do you have anything to add to this?
Well, the one thing that occurred to me was I'm a huge hyssop fan, and I would include some hyssop in that tea as well. And that suddenly, Miss Kat, I'm seeing this bathtub with rose petals all over it. Have you ever read the rose petals in a bathtub?
No, I have not, but you know I could.
It just struck me as something that's so you to do.
Wow, what a cool idea, reading the rose petals in your bathtub like tea leaves. Oh, man, Deacon Millett, I'm seeing a whole new future where I'm giving people baths, and then I go in and I read their bathtubs afterwards. All right, that was a good one. All right, well, we're coming up on a break, and we'll be back right after this with our next caller. Call in from the Lucky Mojo Forum.
And y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now we're going to go ahead and go to the phones and take our next new client that's calling in from area code 530. This is Rosa, a member of the Lucky Mojo Forum. Rosa, are you there, caller?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can. There was just a little beep there, just making sure. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us, and also for listening to the show. and being a loyal listener. And I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that you've not yet gone to any other readers of Root Workers regarding your situation. And she writes, I feel like my life is at a standstill, as if I'm not where I should be in life financially and emotionally. I went to school for years but only received an AA, no degree in any specific field due to indecisiveness. Financially, I'm barely making it, and by this job I'm at, although I dreamed of working where I'm, it's not the department that I wanted. So you're working in a place that you dreamed of working, but you're not in the specific department that you wanted to be in, okay? I really dislike, because the commute to the job defeats the purpose of earning more and saving more money. So the commute's quite long. Okay. Turning this back over to you.
All right. I'm going to ask just a couple of questions. And I actually looked in the forum, and I saw that you had posted twice. So it's a little confusing here because we have two different versions of what you
I tried editing it is what happened.
Yeah. Well, this is we've got a little problem here. So it says here that you have, in one of the versions, I have spoken to an error reader who said I will find better employment, and she made suggestions on how to work toward obtaining it, but it will be several months before this happens. Your question is there anything I can do until then to bring in more money? And currently working a Black Cat Mojo bag, but have seen little results. Should I be using a different mojo? So there's a lot of questions here about what you're, the two versions of what you posted are slightly different. Okay, so I just wanted to let everyone know about that. I'm going to turn this over to Ali, and he can try to straighten out what your actual question is. Okay.
Okay.
Right. Thank you for that. It seems like there's a good portion of it dedicated to just consulting. You want to know what you can do. But there is a question there as well. And I think if I understand you correctly, please correct me if I'm wrong, you want to know where is your life headed financially and in terms of work? And will you be satisfied in getting the job that you desire? And will you be financially better off?
Yes, because I feel like financially I've got this noose tied around me that I can't seem to get out of. And
certainly. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have pulled three cards here. We'll go over them briefly because you do have quite a bit of questions in regard to what to do, so I want to get there and get my colleagues to help out with that. But the first card that I have here is the Fool. And the Fool shows us an individual who's eyes are turned to the heavens, and they're about to walk off of a cliff, and they have a staff in their hand that has all their belongings tied to it, a little knapsack. And there's a little small dog that is barking, warning them of the dangers ahead, but they are looking to the heavens and not seeing the danger of falling off of the cliff. Now, you mentioned indecisiveness at one point in regards to your education, and I will tell you, indecisiveness is a killer, and obviously I'm speaking from the perspective of an earth sign. For us, indecisiveness is something we just don't get sometimes. So, you know, air signs have it quite often. It's just part of life. But there is no great master secret to success. I say this to my clients all the time, and I say this to my friends all the time. Success is actually very simple. It is. It's hard work, and it's being determined. But that only comes once you decisively take an action or you make a decision where you want to go, because then you can work towards it. Like an unerring arrow, you can head in that direction. Right now, you're not there yet. This Fool card is up in the air. It's looking to the heavens. It's abstraction. It's not concrete reality. So you have an idea of a dream job, kind of. You have an area that you want to work in. You have a degree, but it's not in anything specific, right? This is where the problem lies. This is the Fool card. Things have not come down onto a practical level. You haven't pointed at one direction and go, I'm headed there. You're kind of up in this nebulous state, and that's a dangerous place to be in because it's a limbo area. It's this liminal state where nothing ever truly manifests, and you constantly remain in a state of emotion. And that's what the Fool card is. It's contemplative, it's speculative, but it's not action. And what happens? Well, he's up in the contemplative stage, he runs right off the cliff. So it's very, very important for you. The first thing you need to do is have a plan. What is it that you want? You say you're financially not doing well. What do you want to be financially? Have a set goal. I want to make $100,000 a year. I want to make $50,000. Whatever it is, you should have it something concrete, not just, oh, I want to you know, I'm hoping that I can pay my bills. I want you to have a real specific plan here. That's what the Fool card is talking about, something specific. Sit down, figure out, what do you want to do for a living? Oh, you know, I want to do a nice job. Well, what is it that you want to do? Do you want to be a painter? Do you want to be a writer? Do you want to work in retail? Do you want to own your own business? Whatever it is, figure it out. Then set up the plan of going there. What is the path ahead of you? That is the key to success, the unerring arrow that heads in one direction. You need the goal. You cannot have no goal, right? So it is not just an abstract goal either, not a contemplative goal, not something in your mind, something very concrete. This is the area and the direction that I want to go in. Once you do that, you will be headed in the right direction. The other air reader is absolutely right. I do see good things coming for you. The next card that I have is the Sun. The Sun shows us a young individual who's able to throw their hands in the air in happiness and celebration as they ride on a white horse. And the Sun is looking down upon them very happily and blessing them with warmth and happiness. Once you have a direction, you will be able to head in that way. More importantly, I find that you will have help along the way. Someone will come in, an ally or a friend, that will help you get there. This young boy is riding a horse. A horse will come into your life, right? And this will be an ally and a friend who will help you get to your destination. The journey itself is going to be fulfilling. As difficult as it may be, you will learn from this. The idea, the act of creating a plan, the act of following through with it is all going to be very, very fulfilling for you. You're going to have a sense of accomplishment. So it's not just about financially being stable, but along the way you will feel like you are improving in your life. And that growth, that momentum is going to help you feel like you're breaking out of that state of stagnation. And the final card that I have is Wheel of Fortune. The Wheel of Fortune shows us the Wheel of Time, the wheel that is a mystery to all. And it's a mystery because we have the Sphinx there. And this indicates that it's going to take time, that it's not an easy change, but that you are, the wheels are turning, you are going to head in the right direction, and things are going to improve for you. So good cards, but it all starts first and foremost with you changing your approach to this, okay?
Yeah, okay.
All right.
That sounds great.
All righty. So let's see what Deacon Millett, what do you have to say about this situation?
Well, I'm also going to pull three cards. And the first one we've got here is Solar Return. This card shows an eclipse of the Sun, and it is a card of astrology. And I think it's important to point out that the planets change, we grow, we change, and some of the things that may have kept you stuck in the past may actually not apply anymore. So give yourself permission to let things shift. Don't get fixated on past mistakes, on past indecisiveness. You have the capability to wake up tomorrow and be decisive about one thing or another. So this card also tells me you may want to investigate your astrology. It can certainly help you figure out what parts of your personality need to be expressed in what ways. But it's an interesting card to me because it says there are some factors here that are maybe outside of your control.
Okay.
The next card is Cutting Through. This card shows a magical rope hanging down from the sky and magical scissors cutting it. And it shows a decisive action that's going to move you forward. So a very strong, wonderful card to have in a reading where you're feeling like you might be a little stuck. The third card is Burning Bush Lineage Tree. And this is a card that is about hooking in with a group, with a school, with a lineage of some kind, with ancestors that will help pull you forward. In your case, I think school is still unfinished for you. I get the distinct impression that you will have at least a bachelor's degree, and that you need to all the different classes that you've taken and this huge mishmash of stuff and figure out what they add up to. Figure out, in one or two more semesters, really applying myself to really the hard courses that I don't want to take, I will have my degree.
And that sorry to interrupt, but yeah, that's very interesting because I am only about 2-3 semesters away from obtaining a bachelor's degree in political science, criminal justice. So I did have, you know, a sense of direction then, but I just got discouraged and felt like, you know, I'm just not going to make it. And things just kind of coming at me and just kind of reaffirming that. Saying, you know, I'm only a few semesters away and from a bachelor's degree. So
the cards,
right on
the cards, the cards tell me you're going to get it. Taking a break is fine. You know, this whole immediately out of high school, you must do 4 years of college. It's psychotic. You know, all this work you've done is valuable and it all adds up. And when you're ready to get this finished, you will. What I would suggest is that since right now you have employment, even if it's kind of a break-even situation, go ahead and stick that out. Because once employment ends for you, and this is not a long-term job that you're in, that may be a time when going back to school is called for. So you might be able to put that goal out there, that's where you want to head, and then allow the universe to kind of decide the when of it. And just be doing the groundwork of figuring out where you want to finish up, the cheapest school, the least money you can possibly borrow, the sensible thing to get you this piece of paper. Because according to the cards anyway, that paper is coming to you and it is of value to your future.
All right.
Okay.
So I'm going to throw in some ideas here now about work you can do. You mentioned carrying a black cat mojo. That doesn't feel like the right thing for this situation. I'm going to ask a couple of questions here, too. What sign of the zodiac are you?
I am Cancer.
Cancer.
Yeah, Canceriana and Cancerian in Spanish.
Cancerian, right. Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Gotcha, why you called yourself a Cancerian.
Yeah.
Right, okay. And about how old are you?
I am 33.
33. Okay, so you're past your Saturn return. That's good. I'm going to say something about Cancerians. They tend to be like those little sea anemones. You touch them and they shrink a little bit. Cancerians have they blossom and grow if they're not interfered with, but they take a little bit of interference. They're very sensitive, let's just say that way. So I believe that what Deacon Millett said to you is very good advice. You want to go back and reaffirm that you will be getting that BA. Now, having said that, let's look at some possibilities. I want you to work with some spiritual supplies of the type that I like to blend up for people who have been receiving a little bit of a setback, but they are going to, push into it, as they say, give it that old college try. And as Conjurman Ali said too, we're just going to get that thing straightened out. So, and he also indicated a helper, that there would be a helper for you. And so did Deacon Millett indicate that you would go in and talk with somebody about this. So what we're going to do is work on just getting the helper to start with. I want you to get a bowl of sugar, and I want you to put in that bowl of sugar a piece of paper on which you write your prayer, request, or wish. And it can be just in the simplest thing. May I graduate with whatever grade point average, and may I, find good work in the field I'm training for. Okay, that's a simple request. And you're going to put that in there, in the sugar, with some prayers for that. You're going to then put in the names of those at the college who you will have appointments to speak with. This will be some sort of whatever they call them, someone who's in charge of your transcripts or guidance or whatever it is you're going to talk to. Anybody, get their business card or their name, put them in the sugar jar. Okay, now, with all of that, I want you to also add a couple of things to this sugar. I want you to add some bay leaves. Three bay leaves would be a good start. Bay is to clear your head, and I want you to use the whole bay leaves. Don't crumple them up. Just put the whole bay leaves in there as if they were pieces of paper. And with each bay leaf, I want you to just say a little prayer. May I have wisdom and calmness in my mind. May I have courage in my actions. May everything go right for me. When it comes time to have the meeting, I want you to take those bay leaf out and using an ink pen, just write the words success or any kind of word on it, that indicates a short word because it's just an ink pen on a bay leaf now. You just write that and put that in your shoe. Wear that in your shoe. There's three bay leaves, so wear one in each shoe. And what they always used to say was put the third one in your hat. Well, people don't wear hats anymore the way they used to. Bay leaf
no.
is to calm your head. Bay leaf is what the laurel leaf of, the academic wreath is made out of bay leaves. So put it in your purse. Mm-hmm. But you want to have those three bay leaves on you and carry them.
Okay.
Leave the names of the people in there. If you want to, you can burn candles around this sugar bowl as you're waiting for this all to come to pass. You can, for instance, put candles in a triangle. You dress those candles with the following oils. Crown of Success, that's for obvious, right? You also want to have King Solomon Wisdom. That's to do good in school and have wisdom. Right. And Crucible of Courage, ever so important in your case because there's a little bit of nervousness on your part. Am I succeeding?
Yes.
Am I failing? Right.
Yes.
Crucible of Courage. When you go to discuss all of this with them, I want you to cross your palms with Crucible of Courage. And remember that your hands are there to get you what you want. Right. Any paper you grab, anything, you've crossed your hands with a cross of Crucible of Courage. But on your forehead, I want you to put just a little bit of that Crown of Success and up to the top of your head and also mix that with King Solomon Wisdom so that you be wise, okay? You understand what I'm
awesome.
Saying? And you dress
yes,
yourself. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't put on so much that you smell like a perfume factory now. just let that be. All right, let's see what Deacon Millett, can you add anything to this?
Well, I was just laughing to myself because those are the exact three oils I combine for my Triple Crown of Success candles, and I always order those three in the big Root Worker special bottle from you guys. So that made me laugh. I also think that the bay leaves in the shoes is so wonderful because it's protective as well. It's going to keep you from stepping in any messes. You don't have to fear anything beneath your feet. You just walk right in there, and the path is going to be cleared for you.
Awesome.
All right.
That's fantastic, yes. And I, I was going to school, for so many years, and that's what kind of just dropped me is that, it felt like I wasn't really going anywhere. So, but I definitely want to finish that up, and I'm so close.
Yeah,
so
just
close.
Take this reading and the root work advice you're getting is to take courage. You might want to work with somebody who will back you up. And I'm not saying that you're a weak person, but a Cancerian, and especially with that reading of the Sun card, you might want someone to burn a candle for you when you go into that meeting. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much. Yeah, good luck to you.
All the best to you, my dear.
All righty. All right, we're going to take a brief break, and we're going to come back with our free spell from Deacon Millett.
Yes, ma'am, it's Kat, and y'all, please join us on the LMC Radio Network here on Blog Talk Radio. We start the week on Sundays with the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with Conjurman Ali and Miss Catherine Ironwood. On Monday, we have Candelo's Corner with Candelo Cambisa and Ancestor Healing. Tuesdays, it's the Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, followed by the In the Streets with Beverly Smith. On Wednesday, it's Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston. Thursdays, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. On Saturday, y'all, from 12 to 1:30 Pacific Time, join us with Kyra Mon for On Sacred Grounds. All here are available through the LMC Radio Network. The LMC Radio Network is on, so tune in, y'all. And now we're going to go ahead and turn it over to Deacon Millett of FourAltars.org and Joshua Tree, California for our free spell section. Deacon Millard.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Tammy Lee. Always so nice just to hear your voice. I am taking advantage of the full moon tonight to gather up some water charged by the full moon. And it's a very simple thing to do. Just go out, put some water out there, and let it charge overnight in the moonlight. And tomorrow you'll have full moon water that you can use in any celebratory fashion. You can pour it in your bath. You can drink it. And in my case, I am going to then be doing a Rose of Jericho ritual, something I like to do toward the beginning of every new year to just revitalize my reality. And what I do is I've got a nice old glass punch bowl. And you can find very inexpensively punch bowls of crystalline glass at thrift stores. So look for something that's nice and large and that will really be beautiful for you. In the bottom, I'm going to put some green calcite for healing and some rose quartz for love and some big chunks of iron pyrite. These are not little tiny rocks. These are actually quite large hunks of stone. And then I'm going to put my Rose of Jericho on top of that. Now, if you've never played with the Rose of Jericho before, they're amazing because they're dried up plants that once put in water will regrow themselves. They will turn green again. They will open up into beautiful life. So I fill the punch bowl with my water gathered by the moon, and then I place my Rose of Jericho there. I will be putting around it a bunch of vigil candles just because I love them and I have them, and I'm going to use white and blue in this case just for healing and rejuvenation and to bring about a burst of new life in the middle of the winter. Then after it opens, The water tends to get kind of murky and gross, so about every day I will pour that water out and pour in a fresh pitcher of water. So that is kind of my plan for starting the new year off with something a little special to get things going and for using the light of the full moon tonight to charge up some water and use it for my spell work.
Wow, that's really nice. I love that one. I'm just going to throw in a little question to you. Mm-hmm. If you change the water every day, how long can you keep a Rose of Jericho like that?
I have always stopped after about 6 days, so I don't know, and maybe you do. Because then I let it dry back up, and I just save it. I use the same Rose of Jericho over and over and over again.
I see.
So once you take it out of the water, it's going to shrink back down into its, you know, gnarled state, ready to be reborn again.
All right. I have to explain here to people, and I have mentioned this before.
You don't like them.
No, not that. No, they're lovely. No, I received a very strong message, and I guess you could just say it from spirit, from God. An angelic voice told me, never work with this plant. This plant is not for you. And I never have.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I can't and don't is that when I walk by them, I hear them screaming, give me water, give me water.
Yeah.
And it's just like drive me crazy. I can't. So I always ask other people, how do you, you know, so, and everybody loves them. I have nothing against them. It's not that I don't like them. It's just that they're yelling at
you
me.
You hear
the
them.
But I love Rose of Jericho's. I can't have them in my shop, though, because I walk by them on the shelf. I used to, and I hear them screaming. But I know Miss Cindy Toto of Toto Mojo works with them. Miss Susan Diamond works with them, and you do, too. Lovely, lovely plants, really, and a lot of people do appreciate them a great deal. So nothing, it's just me. That's why I asked the question. Now,
or you and green.
Yeah, right. Well, another one is about the moon water. Now, people say when they hear this, oh, how new agey of you. That's not hoodoo. But actually, it is. And you can look back in some of the older, you know, like for instance, the interviews that Harry Hyatt made with people back in the 1930s, and they'll say things like, set out a bowl of water, but make sure it's water that is rainwater, or make sure it's water that no lightning and no thunder ever happened over this water when it rained. It had to be a calm rain to get that water. The use of different kinds of water is just traditional in hoodoo.
Mm-hmm.
All different kinds of water. So we could probably someday just do a whole show on water.
Well, and you sell quite a few different waters yourself.
Well, I collect them for people. That's true. I don't sell water per se. And, of course, there's holy water and all of that. But water is a you know, fantastic thing. We do sell some scented waters like orange water and rose water.
Mm-hmm.
But just what you said, the moon water is beautiful, beautiful water, full moon water.
And it's very good for those of us out here in the desert, because I would love to use rainwater and everything. Well, fat chance. You know, it's just not going to happen. So it is a nice way to be able to take the water that you have and imbue it with something holy and something magical.
Yeah. Logan in the chat room says, this summer went on a water quest and gathered river, ocean, spring, river, and holy water. He got river twice. I don't know what kind of rivers he got there. But, yeah, that is an old thing, the water of seven
mm-hmm.
waters.
Mm-hmm.
And very good. And Nagashiva also mentioned war water. That's true. We do sell war water. And that is water that has had iron and
storm waters I've also heard of.
Yeah. And peace water, says Jellyfish Rising. Yeah, there's plenty of those kinds. So, but don't be putting no peace water in with your Rose of Jericho. That'll clog up its pores.
Oh no!
You need real clear water. So this is you would run this spell for just a number of days until you ran out of the water. Then let the Rose of Jericho fold up again. If
really
you want to read more about the Rose
another
of Jericho,
time.
There in the Black Folder book, which Missionary Independent Spiritual Church has published. There is a whole article on the Rose of Jericho and putting little amulets in it as it closes up again. And that was the beautiful little article, so just check that out. All right, well, let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Deacon Millett of foraltars.org in Joshua Tree, California, for being our special guest this week from air. We invite you to join us next week when our very special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers will be Miss Elvira of Elvira.com in Forestville, California. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat by the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com. in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownCountry.com in Pensacola, Florida. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The shows are available in archives by luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For Alyssa at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here. And we invite you to tune in once again at the same time when you will hear the familiar strain of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Good night. And once again, Happy New Year to all.
Happy New Year to you, Miss Tammy Lee. Thank you so much. And thank you, Deacon Millett. We are really looking forward to your upcoming book. This is going to be something real special. You're going to debut it with a workshop at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. Is that right?
That's the plan.
All right. May 16th and 17th, 2015. Do not miss it. Tickets go on sale this month, January. All right? And if you attend, you'll get a free copy, advanced copy, of that book, and you can get Deacon Millett to sign it for you. Return and Reconciliation Spells by Deacon Millett. Thank you, Conjurman Ali, for being our co-host, as always.
Always a pleasure.
Well, you're just as steady as a rock, my friend. The tides may crash, the tides may roll, but Conjurman Ali is there.
It's very true.
It's so true. All right, folks. Well, I'll stick around in the chat room for a few minutes, but mostly I'm just going to say good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.